You're listening to Serious Talks, Mysterious People with Alex Hurst.
So the dance party will stop.
Yeah, you know, I don't think anyone's dancing, though.
I like think to think everyone's that they just are. Listening. I like to think that they're dancing in there. Oh, if you're just joining us, I'm here with Adam Brokaw. This is my friend, Adam Brokaw.
I am his friend.
Yeah. That was really awkward. I feel like I was introducing you to my mom for a second. Like, hey, this is my friend, Adam. I feel like I could have done
Hello,
that better.
Hello, Mrs. Hurst.
But anyway, I'm here in your apartment right now, the province.
Yes.
And how long have you lived here?
I have lived here for going on 2 years.
Do you like it here?
It's pretty
good.
It's
one of the most expensive apartments, right?
It is,
I don't want to discuss
it. No, I mean, that's... Well, you pretty much did.
Yeah, just threw it right in there, but yeah.
No.
It's a real thing.
It's, It is a little expensive, but it's nice. It's okay. Yeah. I think one of the things we like best about it, we were talking about earlier today, it has a balcony. We're on the third floor, and so we can overlook the parking lot at all hours of the day, particularly on weekends. You know, you can see drunk people stumbling through. And
people
so,
watching. You get your money's worth that way?
Oh, yeah. I'd like to think
so. See, I'm living in an apartment next year. I'm going to live in a dorm right now, but... it has a balcony because it's on the second floor.
Oh, yeah.
So you'll have to give me some tips.
Yeah, you know, just if you have anyone living underneath you who also has a balcony, just don't drop cigarette butts.
Have you done that?
I haven't personally.
Okay.
And I won't, you know, point fingers at anyone, but...
Especially since it's a podcast, they wouldn't even see it.
Right. Well, I'm pointing fingers right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No one will know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the reason I know you or how I met you was through The Agenda, which is a comedy show on TV2 at Kent State University.
Wednesday nights at 9.
Yeah, unless there's something else going on.
Mm-hmm. Which is surprisingly often.
Yeah, very often. We've had a few no-shows this year, this semester, because snow days. And... a campus-wide shots fired event that happened.
Just one shot fired.
One shot fired. Well, they addressed it as shots
through fired. The assailant's own hand.
See, do you know how that went? Like,
I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
Like, he was a guy with a gun.
Uh-huh.
He shoots the ground, but his hand's like right in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
He should have moved his hand.
Yeah.
Well, did he shoot the hand that he was shooting the gun with?
I don't, you know, that's, I didn't think of that.
Exactly.
Logistically, I don't know how that would work.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we could launch a JFK-style investigation.
The magic bullet through
right,
the hand.
How this bullet could
I like to
through.
Think that it was the hand that he shot it with. And he shot it, maybe it spun into his the air and just somehow hit his hand. Like, I think that...
Well, the Esplanade is indestructible, so it probably ricocheted back through his own hand.
I feel like that would be interesting to find out. But yeah, that happened right like a minute before we were about to do our show. We'd done the dress rehearsal, if you want to call it that, rehearsal, and then we were just about to go. Like, and we started late for some reason, which is not good. And then like a minute out, you were at the desk. Mm-hmm. We were about to roll the cold open. And then I get a call from my roommate a little bit before we start that's like, hey, there's like shot fired by Bowman or whatever. And then it was really weird. And then while I'm talking on the phone, people get texts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then the alarm starts going off right a minute when we're about to go out. And, like, what was going through your mind at that part? Like, were you, like, you wanted to go?
Well, yeah. I mean, I didn't know how TV2 was going to handle it. Ultimately, what they did is they just had the news step in and, you know, do sort of a breaking news report. But... up until that point, I thought maybe that they were going to, originally, I think the plan was they were going to, come in for like a minute or so, maybe.
Yeah, just... like, I remember Jeremy, the producer, was like, okay, here's what we're going to do is we're going to give up a commercial break for this news report. And I'm like, that's fine, you know?
Uh-huh.
Not that he was running it by me, by
right,
any means, but
right.
I was like,
you
like,
approved.
Is this
okay?
Yeah, but... and then it turned into a bigger situation, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I didn't know what the situation was at the time.
I don't think any of us knew, like, exactly
so,
what was going on.
But I, you know, I would have been totally gung-ho to go on with the show.
Yeah, the only thing was that this really loud, like, siren.
Right, well, that's what I was excited about.
You wanted to improv about that siren.
They turned on, for some reason, this siren goes off in the building, but all it really is like, police scanner static.
Again, that did not calm anybody down.
No, it just forced everyone to have to yell.
Exactly. So, like, if they were kind of worried before it went off, then it's like... this very dramatic siren police scanner sound.
Yeah, well,
and anyone cry,
and it made it harder to communicate in that time of crisis.
Yeah,
I would have been happy to go on with
that. Would have been a weird show if the whole time that thing was going off and we had like death segments and readers.
I think that would have been hilarious.
Yeah, we can make every character like address it or whatever, or not address it. I don't know which one would be funnier. But yeah,
to me, that's what makes doing it live exciting.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, do you think if it was pre-taped, it would be a very different feeling?
Probably ultimately not that much, but I think occasionally you have situations or you have circumstances. You know, this is live too. You know that there's people talking in the background. There's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Occasionally you have something interesting happen. In that case, it was breaking news that maybe we would have kind of tried to cover.
Yeah.
It's also just this feeling of you jump into a half an hour and then after that, you know, you jump back out. But while you're in the midst of it, you kind of feel like there's a sense of danger and, you know,
yeah,
you
can... Yeah, that's what I like about it. Because I feel like if we did it pre-taped, to the audience, it wouldn't feel any different.
Probably most not of them, too much.
Like, people watch it live, but most people watch it back maybe the next day or whatever. But it'd be very different for us because I feel like if we were doing it pre-taped, we'd kind of be like, can I do that again?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like with live, it's like so much pressure to do it exactly right. And I think that's what I love about it is it's like, if you mess up, you messed it up.
Yeah,
it's
all
your fault and you should be sad.
That's right. Well, I like seeing people mess up on TV because I think it used to not be such a novelty, but anymore, most things are pre-taped and pre-packaged and recorded. So now to see someone fumble on their words on TV is kind of a novelty.
When you've hosted, have you ever had like a big moment where you're like, I really screwed that up?
Very often. Yeah. I can, just off the top of my head, I know there was.
You had one with Matt a few weeks ago.
There usually is one. I'm actually not very good.
No, you are.
at reading the prompter. I'll stumble on my words. Usually I can save it. You know, the worst is you just have to repeat a word. And then second to that is you have to go back and repeat a whole phrase that you've jumbled. I think the worst of it was our Christmas episode. Last semester, we had a studio audience there, so there was even more pressure.
Yeah.
But I think there was just some introduction to a segment where I just did not understand what the teleprompter was saying. I did not.
How much time do you have to look over everything? Because I feel like from watching you do everything, it's kind of not by your fault, but kind of last minute a lot of times.
It often is last minute, and it honestly, it kind of. You know, I could probably help it more if I tried, because there are some things that I could rehearse earlier, but a lot of the show isn't really in there until not too long before we do it.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I'll have some specific segment that I'm working on, sometimes a video or something, which unfortunately, then I won't be able to quite, you know, put the time into the read-through that I might want to. And then, I'll encounter this line that someone misses a period or something like that.
Whenever I write readers, I'm very sure to put, like, commas where they need to be so it's not, like, just run-off sentences.
I appreciate that.
Because I'm always scared, like, if that was me up there, I'd be like, put, like, a period or something.
Yeah. It is dangerous. The punctuation becomes very important.
Yeah. But when you were talking about the Christmas episode, which I wasn't there for, but you were talking about, you were introducing something, which is a lot better than if it was a punchline.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a punchline that you just completely ruined? And you can't go back at that point, can you?
Well, that's the worst part about it is, you...
Like, and they all died.
Yeah.
But you messed it up. Oh, I should have messed it up there, but they all died. I don't know. Whatever. But basically, if you mess up the punchline, it's kind of lame to go back.
Oh, you
be
can.
Like, oh, I meant to say. Right. Because then no one's laughing. They're just, like, cringing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The joke, one of the important things is it has to be read smoothly.
Yeah.
Or else now the audience is listening to the fact that you messed up that word.
Like, if the second you mess up, they can't laugh because they're uncomfortable for you.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've noticed, like, I've seen that a lot. Like,
yeah.
If you're, like, slightly nervous, people are like on the edge of their seats. Yeah. Like, they're not, like, waiting to laugh. They're like, is he all right?
Yeah.
Like, obviously they're not worried for, like, your health, but, like,
Right.
Like, if you make them nervous, they're nervous for you.
Oh, yeah, that's a big thing. And, well, and with that, when you do mess up, sometimes you actually can save it. It might not be as good as it would have been, but you can kind of reassure the audience.
Yeah, I think it depends on how good you are, like, with making up on the spot. Like, if you make a joke about how you messed it up, the audience is, like, with you again.
Right.
Like, if you just kind of ignore that you messed it up, it's like... I don't know. It's awkward.
You have to, for me, my go-to is I at least kind of smile a little bit. You show the audience, okay.
Like, well, I did well with that or something like that. And then they're like, oh, look at that charm.
He's hilarious.
Yeah. We love him. But we were talking about the agenda, but like, when did you join the agenda? Like, when did you start with that? You've been with it since like the very beginning.
I want to say. Close to the beginning. During my... I started working on the agenda the first semester of my freshman year. It had been around for 3 episodes before that. They had done sort of a pilot semester the previous spring. And it was a part of an advanced producing class that Kent State had. They still do have it, yeah. And in this semester, the class decided they wanted to do a show kind of modeled after The Daily Show or Colbert. And so that's what they did. It was like a news parody satire show. They had this original host, Eric Snidel, and then he graduated.
I know Eric.
I was interested.
All right, cool. Yeah, I could have went with that.
he went on to become a weather guy in Alaska, at least for a time. I'm not sure what he's up to now.
Transition there.
Yeah, he was into weather. That was mostly his thing. But he did this class and he hosted the agenda originally. That's cool. And then the next semester, I was a freshman. I knew one of the producers of the show, Nate Edwards. I grew up down the street from him.
Yeah.
And he had gone to Kent. And by this time, he was the producer. So he encouraged me to audition. Lo and behold, I ended up getting a spot as a co-anchor.
That's a good audition point. You're just like, hey, look, I'm the anchor.
And that did raise some eyebrows.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because I was very young and untested completely. But
that would be terrifying. Like, if I was hired when I auditioned, and it's like, hey, you're gonna be the host. It's like, I don't want to be. Like, that's
it did help that I was co-host.
Yeah. So like, I've seen very, very little footage of when you were the co-host, but it was very different than it is today. Wasn't it more in front of you guys were both standing, right?
That was the second semester. Okay. That whole year was sort of a trial run in a lot of ways. Actually, it wasn't too different in some ways. I think maybe just the focus of the content has shifted a little bit, where now we will maybe ignore, we'll be more inclined to ignore a news story if there's something else that we want to do that we think is funny, whereas back then... there was a lot more emphasis on...
like breaking news kind
of. Yeah, we talk about the big stories. We make sure we address, big news. And now, people have more freedom to write sketches that might not even have to do with anything in the news that are just funny.
That's kind of what I like about it now. Mm-hmm. Is there's like, as long as you can connect it to something, you can like use it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, if it's like a random idea, you can be like, well, blah, blah, this is in the news.
Right, yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Like, you can transition it. But back then it was more like, this is what happened this week. Mm-hmm. We have to do that.
There was a strong emphasis on, we need to include the, not just this story in general, but we need to also like kind of dive into the story and really pick it apart.
Yeah.
It makes sense. It came from a class of students who were mostly broadcast journalism majors.
Yeah.
So they were mostly doing...
it's a very different...
right.
Two different majors.
Mm-hmm. And they did a lot more what we call man on the streets, where it's a person walking around with a microphone talking to people. And the style of all the content was much more strongly modeled after news.
Yeah.
And now, like I said, we have sketches.
Yeah, now it's more like a sketch show.
Yeah.
But I can say it's more of the satirical fake news.
Right.
I wouldn't say it's like, it sounds more fake news than it is today. Mm-hmm. Because it's loosely fake news now. Kind of. I don't know.
But, yeah.
But so you were on it and then you were co-anchor. How long were you co-anchor?
I was co-anchor just for my freshman year. And then...
Did you audition summer or like fall or spring?
I auditioned in the fall and then I auditioned again in the spring.
Yeah. So then you were just co-anchor for both semesters.
Yeah. And the second semester, yeah, you mentioned the set changed a little bit. Alex's stomach is making noise.
And which I want to address, and we were talking about this before, where it's like I'll be in like class or something, and it's so embarrassing. Like if I hadn't eaten for a while or something, my stomach goes off. I feel like a need to apologize or something. But like I was in, this is off topic, but I was in a math class. You know the Alex math classes,
mm-hmm.
where like they stick you in this math emporium in the library, mm-hmm. and you're mm-hmm. just working on these impossible math problems, and it's super quiet. Most mm-hmm. people have like their earphones in. But for some reason, I like hadn't eaten it all that day, and it was like 5 o'clock, which is prime hour. So I was working on this math problem, and this girl who I'd never spoken to was sitting right next to me. And then suddenly, my stomach just goes like the loudest sound you've ever, like unearthly. Yeah. Like I looked down at it, like, like it was like asking me for something.
Yeah.
Like, and I looked at her, and she was like dropping not a... glaring at me, but genuinely like concerned for me. And I was like, I didn't even say anything. I was just embarrassed. But, yeah, I just wanted to tell that because it's weird. Like, I don't know what to do.
No,
It sounds like I have a condition the way I'm describing it, but I really don't.
I have a weird thing where occasionally if I drink a lot of water...
I think I've been drinking a lot of water, too, so I think it might
Do
something.
You can literally hear it slosh around if you, like... Which I think is cool.
It's cool,
I think
but...
I actually show it off to people.
That's like your party trick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing... You know, because the sound is contained within your body, you know? To me, then it's safe. It's not coming out of your body yet. That's vulgar, but...
Yeah. You don't have to broadcast that.
Right, you know.
Yeah, it's all innocent until it comes out.
Exactly.
That's my motto.
Yeah.
Just about everything. But anyway, the agenda, we were talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
You were co-anchor for those two seasons, and then did you feel a comfort having someone else next to you? Especially since you're in your very beginning.
Yeah.
I don't know who you co-anchored with.
First semester, it was Andrea Whaley, and then the next semester, it was Lisa Galassi. And,
So not the same girl?
No, they changed. And
what
they
did
were
she
both...
do wrong?
You know, I think she just... I actually think she went on to do another show in TV2, and then she just decided TV2 maybe wasn't for her, but...
I've decided that. But yeah, so after that, after those two semesters, what was you a producer after that, right?
Yeah,
that's so quick, it seems.
Yeah, and it was kind of another instance of people raised their eyebrows.
They're
a
like,
little
is
bit.
Adam really that great?
Yeah, and it was kind of it was my friend Nate again who kind of, you know, because I'll say it up front, I probably wouldn't have gotten those opportunities had I not had a guy kind of in my corner.
But that's not bad though. Like it's not just, hey, here's my friend. It's like he obviously trusts you that you're gonna be good with it. But I can see how you felt though, because like you're kind of stuck in the situation, because it's not like you were like, make me host. You're just like, I'm just trying to be on this show.
Right.
And then so you didn't really do anything wrong at all. So I don't know.
And I think once, you know, people saw me, then they could make their own judgments. And then it was like, you know, they couldn't necessarily say it was just nepotism or whatever, but I started producing when I was a sophomore, and again though I had help from Nate. He kind of was sort of an executive producer on the show. There is a crazy party going out.
Yeah, you're missing it, everyone.
Yeah, we're missing it, too.
Yeah, we are. We're talking about comedy when clearly fun is to be had.
But,
Speak louder if you can.
Someone just arrived, I think.
Yeah, and they were like, girl!
There's fanfare.
Yeah.
It was kind of a similar situation where people kind of were like, I don't know that this kid should have the power that he does, but at the same time, it was kind of awkward because there really weren't... The original producer had graduated, so there wasn't really too many other people that were interested.
Were there a whole bunch of new people that semester too?
Yeah.
So it's like this show had just kind of just started and it's already a new
generation. It was very much, very much fledgling. I felt only recently did I really feel like the show had become established and like it's firmly set as a thing that TV2 isn't going to try to change too much. And that was cool. And I think what I maybe brought to the show as producer was, it started to take that direction more toward what it is now, where
less news,
more just whatever's funny to us. We were stricter at the time cause we were kind of making
how was
the transition.
Like, I know there was a lot of new people, but how was it being producer in charge of all these people that were in charge of you before?
That was weird. I mean, because, there were a few people who have been involved with the show already, and now, you know, I was involved with it again, but now this time I'm in the capacity of being, you know, their leader. But honestly, they were all cool with it.
Yeah, because it's like, it's not like this is a board meeting. It's not like we're I don't know, like, we're all friends generally. Of course, you have to know you're in charge, but, like, it's not like, you know, this is like a business thing.
Yeah, especially on the agenda, you can't have that kind of environment or else it stifles the whole
thing. Because it's supposed to be funny.
Exactly.
Because I've talked to Jeremy Herbert about it, who's producer now, but he's very young. He's a sophomore. So he kind of had the same experience as you, where suddenly he's in charge of these people who, like, hired Jeremy, right? So is it weird for him to be like your producer now?
It's just kind of fun, actually, to me. It's just kind of like, now you see what it's like.
I think that's really cool because it's like the full table turned.
It's, to me, I don't have any problems with it because I feel like there's an understanding between us. Sometimes I'll give him a little bit of a hard time, but, you know, I also realize the stress that he's going through at sometimes because I've been there. And also he knows on the other side of it, he can kind of come to me at times if it's getting stressful and he knows that advice. I know what it's like.
Do you ever have to remind yourself, like, I'm not in charge? I'm not saying that you show that, but, like, I can see that being like,
I don't know. I think other people might argue that I should start saying that.
I'm one of those people. That's why I have you here today.
Is this an intervention?
Yeah, it is. You need to cool it.
Sometimes I'll just get on an idea and, you know, I'll just, that actually kind of was an issue for me for a while because after I produced it for 3 semesters and then I became a programming director, which oversees all the entertainment shows.
So you were Gabe Kramer?
No,
you weren't Gabe Kramer. You were
Kyle. Yeah.
What was that like? Now you're in charge of all these entertainment shows. Is it just entertainment?
Yeah.
Okay.
I enjoyed it because it was interesting to, because I felt that I had something to offer outside of just I know how to make jokes and stuff like that. I actually felt like, you know, maybe I can lend some I don't know, ideas to the sports show or the entertainment news show.
See, you're so much more ambitious than I am. I'd be like, all right, well, I found the thing I'm good at.
Actually, that kind of was a little bit my philosophy. To be honest, I was not really, really that, like, antsy to get that job.
Yeah.
Did
you have to apply for that?
Yeah.
But you were just like, I get it or I don't.
It was kind of, it was kind of like, in TV2, it's an atmosphere of, you know, it's a simulated work environment. In many ways, we have the real stresses that a real workplace does, a real TV station. But at the same time, at the end of the day, it's kind of a simulation where there's a safety net. And there's not really a whole lot of pressure. You don't have, you know, advertisers, you know, making sure you're getting good ratings or anything like that. So you can take more risks, which is what I love about it. So I decided to, you know, I enjoyed being producer, but I said, let's just try the job above that and see what it's like. Because if there's one time for me to experiment with that, it's right now when there's really not a lot of risk involved to do that. And I'm glad I did it.
So, you don't regret that at all. But no. Did you have the opportunity to keep going and then you didn't want to do that anymore?
Yeah, I did it once and then I decided
For one semester?
Yeah, I decided my senior year I was not going to have any official big job within TV2 and I was just going to, you know, have fun. And
that's a good idea. But what was I going to say? Did you still get to be on the agenda when you were that job?
Yeah, yeah.
That's good, yeah. You'd have to suddenly become the suit.
And just and that's actually kind of something funny about the history of the show, which has since, it's kind of changed, but the original producer of the agenda was at the time also TV2's general manager.
Who's that?
Jeremy Markowitz.
Oh, I know Jeremy.
You guys go way back.
Yeah. Kindergarten.
He works for Cleveland Metro Parks now.
Oh, cool.
He does media stuff for them. But he was the top dog at TV2, and he also, because of that, it's probably for that reason that the agenda became a show at all, because like I said, it was this advanced producing class. Mm-hmm. But then there was nothing that said it had to become a permanent fixture in TV2. He liked it enough that he made it a permanent fixture, and he had the power to do that because he was general manager. So he was overseeing all of TV2 while also personally overseeing this one show. And that...
Thank you, Jeremy.
Yeah. And honestly, the show has a history of having the people who were pretty high up in TV2 also being directly involved in the agenda specifically.
That's cool. I like that. That's where the power comes from.
Right. Well, Nate, my friend Nate, he was general manager, and he was also heavily involved with the show. Mm-hmm. Casey Braun, who hosted, ended up being general manager of the show. Another general manager, Jake Corcoran, was on the agenda. And also programming director. When Casey hosted, he was programming director. So
that's the job you had.
Right.
Okay.
And I just think it's kind of interesting because after there have been a few times in the agenda's history where it's done something kind of controversial and someone has to swoop in and say, well, hold on a second, you know, you guys are maybe crossing the line here, be careful with that.
And it's always been someone on the agenda.
Well, you know, it's hard for people to at TV2 now to kind of think about it, but at the time it used to be, yeah, the people that would have had to swoop in were also the ones making those decisions. So
did you have to
do kind of a conflict of interest?
When you were program director, did you have to be like, hey, I know that we worked on this together, but it's too far?
Yeah, that
was... Do you feel
kind
of bad about that?
At times, yeah. I had to be... The higher up you are on the totem pole, the more obligation you probably have to say no.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of it, I think the lower you are, the more obligation you have, the more of a privilege you have to really, really go for it.
And yeah, because you don't know any better.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's just kind of how it works. There's someone to push the envelope and try to, you know, do crazy things. And then there's someone, you know, to say,
yeah,
let's be careful a little bit.
But that's cool. I like that. Everything's kind of full circle at the agenda. At TV.
Yeah, so far, yeah.
Yeah. But I wanted to, we've been talking about the agenda for a while, but I wanted to go back a little bit because... sure. Just comedy in general. When at what age, like when you started college, when you auditioned for the agenda freshman year, mm-hmm. did you know that that's what you wanted to do with your life?
No, I've always
was your major EMP from the very beginning.
Yeah, electronic media. Yeah, and I have always been interested in film and television and entertainment and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I didn't, and I definitely had an inclination toward comedy for a long time, and I loved comedy. But I think there was just something in my head the whole time that I wouldn't let myself think of that as being a legitimate pursuit for myself.
Yeah.
So
I was never that smart. I always wanted to be an actor. That was my big thing. But that's not
personally. I don't think that there's anything wrong with that.
No, I was never like, all right, you know, I'll be an actor.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, that's not going to work, so I'll be a scientist.
Well, that's, for me, it wasn't even that. It was, like, one step further where I didn't even consider.
Oh, you didn't even let yourself have a
like,
fallback?
Exactly, yeah. I was just like, it didn't even occur to me that would be something I could do.
So, for you, it was kind of like, I like it, but I can't do that.
Mm-hmm. And then I did the agenda, and the reason, you know, the agenda ostensibly had an appeal was because it was producing a TV show or being on one, so that's cool. But the agenda was explicitly satire and comedy, so I had to really get good at that while I was on it. And then it's because I've been on the agenda that I've ultimately decided, yes, I really do like that's comedy.
Cool. I like and, that. Yeah. So if it weren't for the agenda, you'd probably be like, still pursuing something else.
I have no idea what I'd be doing. Honestly,
be like on the streets, like
the maybe,
out.
Yeah, maybe. The agenda has been just the bee's knees, you know.
Yeah. Like I've only been on it. I'm very new. I've only been on it like a little bit more than half a semester, I guess. I think, and I've already found that it's helped me a lot when it comes to thinking of ideas and like writing, and I don't know, like comedically, I think it's really helped me like
grow. Yeah,
because it's something about it just really
well. There's like, an immediacy.
Yeah.
You have to get it done that week.
I work so much better like with a deadline. Exactly. So it's like you have to write this, make it funny by like now.
Right.
Like,
I like exactly.
That. Yeah.
And there's immediacy, and then there's immediate, you know, there's immediate pressure, but there's also immediate payoff. You do know that when it hits 9 o'clock. You have to go on, and but you get to go on. Unless, you get to be on TV.
Unless someone shoots their hand.
Unless a man shoots his hand.
Then you gotta stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, so.
Fortunately, that doesn't happen often.
No. Is that the first time? Sorry, we'll get to you. We'll
sure.
get back.
But no.
Is that the first time that the agenda's ever been cut off for breaking news like that?
Yes.
Like, as long as you've been there, or just as long as it's been a show?
As, I've been at the agenda for all but 3 episodes. And so I think that, that's the only time it's ever
That's
happened.
Crazy. I mean, I feel cool. You know, I saw some history there, but it's also very sad.
Oh, no, that was a very unique situation. Ready. Yeah.
Like, it's a certain disappointment. Whereas, like, me and Maggie had written this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you saw it. We, you know, we did this sports thing. I thought it was really funny, and we did it, and I had so much fun.
No, the rehearsal was good.
I can't wait to actually do this. Mm-hmm. And then I was just, like, so bummed out. But when you're bummed out about comedy not happening, you feel very selfish. Or at least I do. I'm like, people are panicked for the lives, but I wanted to do this bit about sports. So it's like, it makes everything very unimportant, but at the same time, it's really important to you.
Right. Well, and I don't know. I don't think that necessarily comedy is that unimportant.
I know. It's very important, but
I think in that.
I feel like in the eyes of a lot of people that were in that room, it's like, this is not as important as anything. That we're doing. Which makes sense, because they're covering news. Mm-hmm. And we're making, like, jokes about.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Sports and I had never mind, but anyway, I was just really ready and I wanted to express that to you. And like, you were disappointed, right?
Yeah, I honestly, I don't know. The moment I found out that there was actually some kind of legitimate crisis going on, it just kind of my brain turned off of agenda mode.
And that was the week that was the first time I had actually put like a tie and jacket on. I was like, I'm all dressed up with nowhere to go. You know, I could be wearing like a hoodie and then be like perfectly dressed.
Yeah.
For
that. Well, to me, you know, that adds to the agenda's mythos. You know, now there's the lost episode of the agenda because. Yeah. We got some pictures behind the scenes of what it was like.
Yeah, I like that, because it's all on Facebook as if we did a show. But anyway, growing up, you liked comedy, you liked acting in film and stuff. What was your big, like, inspirations, kind of? Like, what made you like that stuff?
I think, initially, The Simpsons was a big influence. I attribute a lot of my personality and my sensibilities to having grown up in a large family. I'm the youngest of 7. And growing up, my oldest brother, who's 20 years older than me, was already, when I was born, he was already in college and moved out of the house. But I still grew up with these 5 older siblings who, you know, they'd tease me, but, you know, it wasn't all bad. But it's a very unique way to grow up. You grow up almost in this commune of people of different ages.
Yeah, it's very weird.
And it is weird, but for me, it's, in retrospect, it was cool because not only am I getting the influence of my parents as people and as role models, but I was also getting, you know, influence from my siblings, for better or for worse at times. But I remember, it's a story that I recently thought of that maybe there's some significance to it. I remember being when I was little, watching TV with my like older brother and older sister, and Saturday morning cartoons or something, and I would stand in front of the TV and like try to like make jokes about like what was on the TV.
Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah, well, and that's some that's something that was like a thing that my siblings would do that I only realized recently is not necessarily a common thing. Well, no, Mystery Science Theater, that thing of talking about the TV or the movie while it's happening, is, for better or for worse, again, I'll say, a big thing that my siblings would do and that I kind of inherited from them.
Yeah.
Just without
just
even thinking about
what
it.
They do, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you not only watch TV, but you watch TV and you critically look at it, and you know, when you're little, mostly you're just trying to make fun of anything you can make fun of, be silly or whatever. But I think it's kind of crossed over to almost what the agenda does often, where it's like, again, we're watching what's on the news, we're watching what other people are doing, and now we are making fun of that, or we're pointing out, you know, the flaws or you know, the weird things in that.
I did that when I was a kid, the standing in front of the TV making fun of it. I remember specifically, I was watching Bob the Builder one time. You know how it's like, Bob the Builder, can we fix it?
Uh-huh.
And I said to myself, I was like, Bob the Builder, can we fix it? No, but we can poop in our pants. I was like very young where that was hilarious, like great comedy. I remember taking that joke, I was like, that's good. So I remember I was on the bus one time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. And I was like, Bob the Builder, can we fix it? No, but we can poop in our pants. And then one of them laughed or whatever, and then they got home and they told their mom. And then their mom, I think, called my mom or something.
Uh-huh.
So suddenly I'm like in trouble for this for this joke that I thought was hilarious.
I think it still is hilarious. No.
No,
we can poop
in
our pants. Yeah.
No, it's like not even related to anything. It's like, we can't fix it because we can poop.
Little kid jokes are always the best.
Yeah, I know. Like, poop is never not going to be funny when you're a kid.
Yeah, yeah. So, I still think it's funny.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad that joke worked on you still. It didn't go to waste. But yeah, that's... I did that
too. You should
too.
Keep that in your repertoire.
I'm going to use that for stand-up.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I get what you mean, because I used to do that too.
But yeah, and so I kind of, you know, I remember watching, you know, maybe like just anything on TV, and my siblings, mostly my older brother and older sister, who are directly above me, who are like, my older brother's 5 years older than me and my older sister's 2 years older than me, we would, you know, watch TV a lot, and they would, you know, make fun of it, and so then I would, or just talk about it, and I would try to imitate what they were doing, but of course I wasn't as smart as them, I wasn't as clever as them, and also I'm the annoying little brother, so of course there was a lot of resistance. But I remember standing in front of the TV, because there was also this recognition that in the center of the room, the TV is what everyone is looking at. So, I mean, using little kid logic, I want people to look at me.
There.
I'll just stand in the way of the TV. Yeah. It's brilliant. And now I'm just on the TV.
See, that's quite the evolution.
It there. All is. It all happened to fulfill that very immature.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Child.
You can trace that back. It's like, I'm glad that you can admit that. You're like, the reason I want to do this is because you wanted that. It's not the only.
Yeah,
reason,
yeah.
But you, like, you wanted the attention. It's like, standing in front of it, like, I can do better.
Right, well, yeah, I mean,
yeah.
If nothing else, it makes a nice little story.
Exactly.
But I do actually kind of believe that that's...
Yeah, no, I like that. I wish I had, like, an origin story like that. Like, where, like, I don't know, because I grew up, my brother, well, technically half brother, at my dad's side, is 10 years older than me. So he was never really around.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sister's 2 years older than me, so we kind of grew up together. So I always kind of had the... trying to do the stuff my sister did, like to impress, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
but not
yeah, yeah.
In your capacity, because you had six other...
Well, when did you, what was your first...
when I like started liking comedy?
You know, making, did you make a movie, like home movies, or did you...
Yeah,
like,
I had
play?
This old, this big black tape camcorder, and I would just kind of annoy everyone in the house. I had this thing called Alex TV when I was like 10 or whatever, and I would just like set the camera on a tripod and just do stupid, like, cooking segments or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, I did this one thing called The Office, where I'd sit in the office and talk.
Mm-hmm.
Before The Office, mind you. So I might have started a trend. But it was just stupid things of me, like, sitting in my room, pretending I was hosting a talk show or whatever. And then I would, like, hook it up to the TV and, like, make my mom watch it. Like, it was comedy gold or whatever. But that's when I got really into, like... I think I had, like, ADD, too. So it was very, like, I had to always be occupied doing something ridiculous. Yeah. But that's kind of when I wanted... I liked kind of performing in front of like stupid... I still have those tapes, and they're, like, the most...
That's awesome.
...embarrassing thing. But that's I think that's when... If I had to trace back something, it'd be that.
Yeah, that's kind of what it was for me, too. Yeah. I was always so tantalized by any kind of recording mechanism, like... Mm-hmm. The family camcorder or...
I had, like, a voice recorder, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I have one, too, now.
Yeah.
I'm still a kid.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know why, but it was always something that I wanted to have and play with was, like, a camera or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I was also very shy and very timid about... trying to do anything with it, I think, because I also, as much as I wanted everyone's attention, maybe deep down, I was also used to being told, you know, you're being annoying.
I can relate.
You're being the annoying little brother. Like, okay, that's enough. You know, we get it that you want to make a movie with the camera, but
we
don't want you to break it.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, that's what I trace it back to.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would along with that, maybe the reason why The Simpsons comes to mind. The Simpsons was a show that I remember seeing my older siblings watch, and to a lesser extent, Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And both of those shows in the beginning, I remember The Simpsons was easier because it was a cartoon.
Yeah, my brother was really into The Simpsons. I would see it occasionally. But SNL,
go ahead.
SNL didn't come in until way later. I was like...
SNL was also later for
me. Yeah, like, we've talked about this, how you have, like, you know, the Phil Hartman, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you watch that tape a lot. Like, all the old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I never got into SNL really at all until independently when I was, like, 13 or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I found it just on TV.
Yeah.
I remember Sigourney Weaver was hosting.
Oh, okay.
With musical guest, the Ting Tings. That was my very first SNL I saw.
I can tell... You're special because you remember that.
Yeah, I remember it because, like, sorry, this is off track, but I remember her saying, "So stick around and we'll be right back." You know how they all say that?
Yeah.
And I was like, "That's cool." Like, I didn't know that every host said that, so I was like, "Stick around, we'll be right back." That's a cool thing to say.
Actually,
and then after watching more episodes, I was like, "Oh, that's just what they say." Like, it's like little things like that as you start to watch a show. That's like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because I love it so much, but like stuff like that.
I remember coming off of Mad TV and I thought Mad TV was great.
It was vulgar. I never had seen that yet.
It was vulgar and gross, and it was just like, especially because, like, I was probably a little too young to be watching it. So yeah, it was
there's
like
a certain thrill to it.
Yeah, it was like watching porn, where it was just like, oh, like they're saying all the words you can't say, and like, oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I hope my mom, you know, doesn't know I'm watching this.
There's a certain danger to it.
But then I remember I have a vague memory of, you know, one night it was like, well, we're turning the channel, we're watching SNL. What's SNL? I remember it was a bit with Daryl Hammett as Bill Clinton.
Oh, that was always good.
to give you an idea of the era, and I remember being bored and being and not understanding any of the jokes they were making.
Oh yeah, you were like, what's politics?
And it was like, this is like,
was he president at the time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this was like late 90s, and. Probably when the Monica Lewinsky thing was going on.
Comedy gold right there.
And I just remember thinking, this is like, this feels like Mad TV, except it's not funny. But then they would let, you know, my siblings would laugh at it. So
you just didn't get it yet.
But it became this thing of now, this is the thing that I needed. Apparently, my siblings, you know, thought SNL was better. So now I need to study SNL and make sure that I understand why they think it's funny.
I like that. So we were talking earlier about the competing for their attention. Mm-hmm. So now you're like trying to just keep up with them.
All of this is subconscious, by the way.
I feel like this is therapy, right?
Looking back on it, like I wasn't consciously thinking any of this at the time.
It's like survival of the fittest.
It's just like anything where you see, you know, the kid down the street has a new bike, and now you know that that's the bike that every kid like you should have that bike too, because that's a cool thing to have.
Yeah.
Even if you yourself don't really understand why, you're just like, oh, that's what it was like
for Tamagotchis for me. Do you remember those?
I do, yeah.
It was like fifth grade, and everybody had them, and I was like, I don't really get it. Like, they're little handheld things. You just raise like an egg that like black graphics, and like, it hatches, and you have to take care of it. I'm like, I don't get why that's cool. But then I like had to get one, obviously.
I had a special toy story Tamagotchi where it was shaped like Buzz Lightyear's ship.
I thought you were saying I have a toy story. I was like interested in
your story. No, no. That's one of the few times that confusion could ever arise.
I'm glad we found that though.
I do have a toy story for you, but it's about my toy story themed Tamagotchi. It's not really a story, but it basically
you just had one.
I had one and you fed
were
the
you
aliens.
Extra cool because you had that?
I don't think I had any friends to really show off to, so it didn't really matter.
Did you not have friends?
I had friends. no, actually, Nate, who I mentioned earlier, he and his younger brother, I grew up the street from.
I think that's so cool that you grew up with these people that like made the show that you're on. And that you
it's really bizarre, And I went to, like, I would play with them when I was little. Our parents were friends, and so they'd come over and... you were hanging out with Jeremy Markowitz.
That's
so
true. We were busy. But what was the, if I can ask, what's the town that you grew up in?
Vandalia, Ohio.
Never
heard. It's a suburb of Dayton. And it's known for, or it used to be known for having like a trap shooting building there.
What's that?
Trap shooting is like, I won't pretend to be an expert on it, but it's essentially... the sport of, you know, clay pigeons are shot into the air. You have to shoot it out of the air.
Interesting.
But then they moved it. So that's
so
but that used
to
be
for anything.
And the Dayton International Airport is in Vandalia.
Okay, that sounds amazing.
We were the Butler High School Aviators.
That's the Hornets.
The Hornets.
I sound like I was bragging.
No,
like,
yeah.
Hey, it was the Hornets.
The Hornets.
Yeah. Highland Hornets.
That's
Medina,
nice.
Ohio.
Okay.
Which is weird because Medina... as Medina High School, and those are the bees.
Okay.
And Highland is Hornets, so it's a lot of... It's not interesting at all now they said it. But, you know, it's insects very similar to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway... But I want to ask, you have six siblings. Do they watch The Agenda now?
I don't ask.
You don't ask? That's probably the same.
They've seen it for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know to what extent they've seen it or that they watch
it. Have you talked
it
about it to them a lot?
I've talked about to them occasionally. The way I find out that they watch it, because, and this is a complex that I deal with, you know, as much as over the years or my interest in film and television might have started with like wanting to get their attention and be like a part of, you know, the cool kids group with them. I never promote anything that I do to anyone that I know.
Me neither. Like, I don't know if it's the same thing, but like, for some reason, it's not that I don't like the people I'm talking to about it, but like, if I get involved with something like say, The Agenda, or I had a radio show last semester, it would be the thing that's asked about at every kind of reunion or any kind of...
Yeah,
which is fine, but any kind of like family gathering, it's like, how's that, you know, show doing? Next, where's that show? What's that show?
Uh-huh.
And it's like, well, you know, it's called The Agenda.
Yeah.
So do you ever feel like you have to be like, well, you know, it's going good, you know, it's on, you know, TV too. Do you know what I mean?
It's still on the same channel. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Not that you're annoyed with them, but it's that thing that you're known for.
Well, it's funny. Relatives. They don't often bring it up, but like sometimes they'll bring it up.
Yeah.
But it's like, I think mostly what maybe happened was my mom found out about it. Obviously, I mean, I told my mom
she
about
found
it.
Out about it. Like you're hiding something.
she would probably say that.
Yeah.
If she heard this, she'd get angry and be like, he did want to hide it from me because. I'm just...
Did you want to hide it from her?
No, okay. Not at all. But I am infamously, like, shy and bashful about, like I said, promoting anything that I do or telling anyone
about it. It's like, what if they watch it and they don't like it?
Exactly, yeah.
Then it's, who do I answer to, you know?
Yeah, it's understandable, but yeah it's still just kind of stupid.
So you probably don't talk about it to your family unless they bring it up, like, as on the agenda.
Yeah, pretty much always. Unless there's something where I feel like... my mom will think that this is hilarious and it'll just, you know, land perfectly with her. But that is not too often. Yeah,
not the mom jokes. Do you ever feel like something when you've written a lot of stuff for the agenda, mm-hmm. have you ever written something where you're like, my mom doesn't, like, contact me about that joke?
Well, the nice thing is,
there's a few times already this semester where I've been like, my mom doesn't like.
Well, she was sort of prepared when I first started hosting it, or co-hosting it when I was a freshman. She was hearing her son say things that she never thought he would ever say. Yeah.
There was one cold open that I just did with Dylan and Jeremy where I'm supposed to get mad at them. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know mm-hmm. the one
yeah.
in the conference room where I'm like swearing at them mm-hmm. and stuff. And I said, F you guys or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, obviously it was bleeped, but I came home that next weekend. My mom was like, so did you actually say it? And I was like, yeah, yeah. Because, like, what am I supposed to say? Uh-huh. Like, no, mom. Uh-huh. I said cluck or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was like, yeah, I actually
said it. Well, like, some people, that wouldn't be an issue to yeah. say that around their parents at
exactly.
all.
Exactly.
But I have a similar thing yeah, where it's yeah. like, my mom rarely hears me swear yeah. at all, just for whatever reason.
So is it like a... You had to kind of tell her, like, the things I'm saying, I didn't necessarily write all of them.
Yeah, that's yeah. what it was. It was like, you know, I'm just the mouthpiece. Exactly. People are writing these things.
I always think about you like we're writing all these things. And we've talked about this before, I think, where these are all different opinions. Mm-hmm. But you as a person, like, you're Adam Brokaw, but you're a character uh-huh. kind of in yeah. the show. So it's like, it's almost like Colbert, you know, mm-hmm. how he's playing that character. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to figure out who you are with all these different opinions
right, yeah.
swirling around that you have to say.
It is kind of strange. That is one of the things about it that I think makes it such a unique medium, though.
Yeah.
Is that from the viewer's standpoint, they don't really think about it, but what they're hearing, you know, ostensibly coming out of this one person's mouth
yeah.
are thoughts of a lot of people, like a dozen yeah. or more people.
You're like, you're bipolar.
Yeah, yeah. So it just, it creates an interesting character of like, yeah. I didn't know, how can he have this opinion on that and yeah. this opinion on that?
I wonder if there's ever been anyone that like, is like, I don't agree with that. I don't like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
When then really it's like,
maybe.
Not specifically you, but yeah, when it comes yeah. to like Jon Stewart or something
oh, yeah.
like that.
Oh, I'm
like,
sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah. it does. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's people who judge you on things that, I mean, of course, if you're saying them, you kind of have to take ownership of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I just think that's really weird. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all these different people writing these readers, mm-hmm. and you're just saying them. Mm-hmm. Do you ever write readers now?
Yeah, I write readers. I usually write about one a week.
Yeah, I can barely write that.
So. yeah, and a reader for
oh, those yeah,
who,
sorry.
Who don't know, a reader is just the very simple host talking directly to the camera about a story yeah. that happened.
It's like a monologue. Joke. There yeah. you go. yeah. But, we're kind of wrapping up here, but I wanted to ask real quick, after this is your last semester here, mm-hmm. You're going to graduate. Mm-hmm. What are your plans for the future? I'm sure you're sick of hearing that, but like, yeah. What are you working towards?
Right now, I have two, friends of mine that live in, New York City. Both of them former Agenda people. They actually...
Casey and Carter.
No.
Carter... No, I was saying Casey.
Brian.
Hold on. Let me give it... Brian again. Yeah. Brian Carter.
yeah. They live in New York and...
You just visited them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they are... they're doing well.
yeah, I know both of them.
For those of you worried. So. but yeah, so... I'm kind of... still figuring out what exactly what the best path for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I know the things that I like to do.
Yeah.
But I have no idea how I would get into doing, if I, you know, had this ideal dream job, it would be I get to write stories and jokes and then maybe act them out sometimes and have say in how they're executed and all that. How I would get to that, I have no idea.
So, like, if you were the host of The Daily Show, very, you know, hypothetically, uh-huh. would you be happy with that position, or would you want something very different?
I don't think I would be happy. I mean, I would certainly...
Obviously, you'd be honored, you know, but...
Yeah, it'd be like, oh, awesome. It'd be
like your dream job.
No, I think because I don't feel... I'm not interested heavily enough in politics
yeah. And it all revolves around politics.
Right. So I don't think that would entertain me mm-hmm. long enough. And you
That's interesting.
I don't think I could entertain an audience if I wasn't entertained.
So at any point, you've been the host for 4 semesters now.
Yes.
Not in a row.
Right.
But have you ever been like, yeah, I'm getting a little, not sick of it, because of course you love the agenda, but have you ever been like, I don't know what I'm trying to ask, but do you kind of know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally know what you mean.
Bad interviewing.
I actually, near the tail end of co-hosting the second semester, I did feel that. But I think it was my fault. I kind of easily fell into this rhythm. I kind of accepted this reality of I'm, like I said, just the mouthpiece, the talking head. Other people are writing what I'm saying. So I can just kind of stand up here, read the prompter, and that's pretty much what I do.
Is that when you took kind of more ownership of what was the content? That definitely helps, I feel like.
Well, yeah, it's more recently that I've started, I've been able to look at hosting in a different way, and it's made it more exciting to me, which is just that you try to convince yourself that you can do it differently than anyone else could. So it's, I think you need to remind yourself that you are not replaceable in, at least with your exact voice. Yeah. You are doing this in a way that no one else would do it. And therefore you have to do it and you better do it well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I have gotten that way maybe, or I know exactly what you mean, but no, actually with each episode, I actually lately have loved it more and more. Yeah,
I see that you're not bored with it at all. Are you gonna be sad when it's over?
Oh yeah, totally.
Are you gonna have like a breakdown?
I don't think I'll have a breakdown. I'm curious. I don't know.
Have you ever had that kind of thing in your life where you've been with something for so long and it's over? Besides high school or something.
A little bit, but yeah, this is bigger than anything.
I can't imagine it, honestly, because I've only been with it for less than a semester, and I'm very attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward to it every week now. Mm-hmm. So like you've been it so long of it.
Well, yeah, and same with one of the other cast members and writers, Gabriel Bang.
Yeah, Gabe.
he and I have been doing it for the same amount of time, and I think this is the first time in the show's run where anyone could have been a part of it for this long.
Yeah.
Where we came in as freshmen, started working on it, and now as seniors we're graduating.
Yeah.
And it's been around that whole time. So we've had the maximum amount of
you had to have that experience.
But
I hope I get to have that.
If the show sticks around.
That's why I said I hope, yeah.
So just make sure it doesn't suck and
I don't know if I'll be in a position where I can make sure that, but yeah. I just took a drink right there because of the pause, you'll probably be sad.
Oh yeah, but back to this.
back to your impending.
Just so the
sadness audience
knows, you will be devastated. Yeah.
So if you're listening,
I'll be sad.
Yeah, I'm sorry to say that.
I think it'll really hit me when, the show offers such a broad outlet for all kinds of things that I would ever want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I just want to write something
or videos and all that.
Yeah. So there's so many things about it that I like to do, and it gives me a regular place that I can do those things. And so that'll probably be the real sadness, is when I realize like I don't have that weekly show that I can goof around on anymore. So
and
you've given me something to think about.
yeah. I'm sorry. I don't want to cause like a crisis here, but you'll be back. To visit.
I'd hope so. Yeah, I'd like to visit.
But you're not going to be like a grad student or anything, right? You're
no.
just going to... Are you going to move to New York? Are you going to try to...
So I'm going to...
Are you going to move in with Brian and...
Or whoever. I'm going to move in with Brian, and he's been very generous with offering that.
That's very cool. That's awesome that you know someone in New York. They'd be like, hey, So you're going to try to get in like an internship there or something?
Yeah, something. For sure.
An NBC page.
I'm kind of... I don't know that I'm qualified to do that.
What do you have to be?
The big thing for me is you have to have two internships. It's not...
Under your belt already?
It's not a requirement, but I think it's a strong recommendation. Mm-hmm. I've only had one. Of course, I'd like to think
is that something you'd
TV2 could be a page. I wouldn't want to...
Is that your life goal?
No, I wouldn't want to be a page.
See, the whole thing right there...
But I would love to be a page if the opportunity were there.
Yeah, for me, when I think of page, I think good because of 30 Rock has kind of ruined that. I'm sure it's not like that in real life. I mean, I'm sure it's fun.
Well, being a page...
like Kenneth the Page.
A lot of really big people started out as pages. Like the one of the original hosts of Tonight Show, Steve Allen. Yeah, Regis Philbin.
I know that's Philbin. Regis Philbin didn't host Tonight Show. That'd be funny though.
I don't think so.
I would not funny in a way that it's supposed to be.
Ironically funny.
Yeah. I have a book by Regis Philbin. I haven't read it yet.
Oh, really? What's it called?
It's called How I Got This Way.
Oh, okay.
It's him on the cover, like,
yeah.
Like that. I know the audience can't hear that. But,
shrugging. Yeah,
but I saw him in person when I saw, I think I told you about when I saw Regis and Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I guess, I think my sister got it for me. I think I expressed interest somehow in Regis Philbin.
Oh, no, he seems like a nice guy. He's a great guy. Like a genuinely nice guy.
I should have him on here.
Yeah, do it. Yeah.
First, you know, Adam Brokaw and then Regis Philbin.
I mean, he's not doing the show anymore.
He had, after he left Regis and Kelly, he was on like the sports show.
Oh, and really?
And he quit it recently.
I didn't know that. Wow.
So this is the segment of Regis update. But anyway, you're going to move to New York. You're going to get an awesome job. And you're going to forget all about the little people. And,
I certainly hope so.
Yeah, I know. It's been hell. You want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
But I think, unless you have something else you want to say, I mean.
No, I mean, thanks for having me.
In your own room.
Yeah, in my own room.
Yeah.
That's what makes you so great.
I come to you.
You take the studio with you.
Exactly, yeah. This is the first time I've done it. I think this is the first time I've ever done it that is a place that's not like that. It's like my room or anything like that.
Oh, really?
It's very different.
Does it help or does it?
Honestly, this is the first time I've thought about it, so I guess it doesn't hurt.
Cool.
But yeah. Anyway, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah. No problem.
If you want to watch the agenda, go to
TV2KSU.com.
Yep. I knew it. I had to think about it. It's at 9 o'clock unless there's a horrible thing happening. And
Wednesday nights. Yeah.
On the website, it says 10 o'clock on Wednesdays. But,
don't read that.
Don't read that. It's at 9 o'clock. So thank you so much, Adam. Thank you, everyone listening. And I'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you.
You're listening to Serious Talks with Serious People with Alex Herbs.